Testing, testing.
Romaine
one,
lettuce.
Two.
Romaine lettuce.
One, two.
Radishes. Radishes.
Peacocks. Peacocks.
Cucumber. Sliced cucumber.
RAV4. Toyota RAV4.
Croutons. Croutons. Garlic croutons.
Welcome to Miami. I don't know the rest of that.
French dressing. French dressing. Alice, hand me the French dressing, please. I'm trying to make my salad.
Sound check.
How? I would eat my salad. Give me the frickin' dressing.
This is Big Willy style.
I'm trying to eat my salad, Alice. Oh. Just say your name.
This is going terribly.
Mm-hmm.
I would eat human blood.
Hello.
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 It's harder with two people, isn't it?
What?
Because you can't, you can only draw out two voices at a time.
Unless we try that, you know, that throat singing.
What?
Mm-hmm. Like we can have two tones at once.
What?
Yeah.
Do it. Do it.
I can't.
You can't just tease me with this. You can't drop this. I don't think it's real.
People train for that.
Hello. Did I do it?
No.
It felt like I did it, Alice. It really felt like I did it. I heard two sounds come out of me. Oh, wait. That was just my fart.
You gotta turn your fart mic on. People can't hear.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking. I'm glad January's over.
Oh. Was it long for you?
Yeah.
And everybody else, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I said that. I'm just trying to make conversation. January was great. It was my birthday month.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was a new year.
I'm like,
what
do you got to complain about in January?
Thanks. No, it was good. Was it long for you?
No.
Oh, okay. You said everyone else thinks it's long.
In general, you know, like people are like, I can't believe it's the 56th of January.
Oh.
But the good news is I remembered to say rabbit, rabbit right at midnight on February 1st.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
So that's a superstition thing?
I guess. It really doesn't do much, does it? It's just an easy thing to do. It requires no real commitment.
It requires a minimum of 28 days of commitment to remember, you know? It's supposed to be the first thing that you say at the beginning of a new month is rabbit, rabbit?
Yes.
Those are the first words that come out of your mouth? Otherwise, yeah. your great-grandma dies or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
both,
like,
both mine are dead. I failed this a lot.
But it's just it's a repetition of one word. You know, it's not like I have to wear the same socks for a week or something,
yeah.
Or prepare grapes to eat, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was excited about
like
the grapes.
New Year's tradition.
You could prepare rabbits to eat.
It's too much commitment. All I have to do is say the word rabbit twice.
Okay. Are you saying that some people wear socks for a week?
You know, it's like a sports superstition. Like, just other superstitions. Like, oh, you have to avoid the cracks in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's true. I still kind of do that.
Mm.
Except the exact opposite.
You deliberately step on the cracks.
Yeah. Mostly
to
prove
your mother's back.
No. I mean, if it happens, it's just a bonus. It started as like a thing, like, I don't believe in superstitions, I'm going to step on some cracks, and now it's become like, just part of a, it's like a video game where you're trying to do,
yeah.
You know, the goal. It's like, oh, I guess my goal is to step on these cracks.
Yeah.
And I think maybe sometimes it's a step in between them, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We all have our idiosyncrasies. Too many syllables?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's February looking like for you?
Well, I am going to a Kansas City this week.
Missouri?
Yes.
Or Kansas?
There are two different ones, right?
Yes, there are two different ones.
Why? Why is it like that?
So the correct answer is you don't know.
God, I hope I'm going to the right one.
I hope that you've booked everything incorrectly. I feel like I'm going to a concert, I'm going to stay at this hotel.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's a conference for the Association of Writers and Writing Programs.
Okay.
AWP, even though there are technically two W's in there.
AWP, so that's short for...
Ass Wet Pussy?
Yeah, yeah. You... I'm glad you saw where I was going. I don't curse, but I can sure put that together.
You put the pussy together.
Stop saying it. It's starting to sound weird now. I don't like it.
Okay.
Kids are listening.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're going to go to a conference and learn some
in
stuff,
Missouri.
Huh?
Missouri. Yes. Okay. Kansas City, Missouri. I'm pretty sure.
I believe it to be the bigger of the Kansas cities.
Ah, yes.
The more frequently frequented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to learn some stuff. Like, you know, they have panels all day, like on incorporating artificial intelligence in the creative writing classroom.
Oh, okay.
There's like a panel on hashtag book talk, like book influencers on TikTok. You know, so like all sorts of topics, you know, for the classroom, but also for writers who want to make a living out of writing.
Mm-hmm,
You know, different workshop models for students. I mean, there will be lots of poetry readings and fiction readings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a session about audiobooks. And there are two narrators who are heading that up. Who
is one of them you?
No. Who I follow on Instagram. So I recognized them. So I was like, ooh, I actually reached out to them. I was like, oh, I'm going to be there because I'm teaching creative writing. Yeah. So, I mean, it's stuff for authors, like how authors can turn their books into audiobooks.
Oh my
so
God.
I don't think I'll get much from it, but I think I will just go and network with them a little bit.
Oh my God, you're Dominic Barlow. Oh my God. Oh, you should check out my AWP right now. Good Lord. Wait a minute. When you switch those letters around, it's that your vagina is as wet as your butt. If you say it out loud. and it's wet for the same reasons that your butt would be wet. That's not good. That's not good, Alice. That's that diarrhea vag.
You gotta wipe from front to back.
The diarrhea vag Frank.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Hey, speaking of Anne Frank.
You're bad.
Today would be Ava Braun's 112th
birthday. No, you can't make that connection.
I'm so sorry. It came about organically. I hate that it did. I hate that it did, but I had to go with it.
That's the least organic thing you've ever done.
Ava Braun would be 112 years old today. I don't want to say happy birthday, but she was kind of brainwashed, right?
I don't know too much about her, actually.
She was quite young. She was 33 at the time of her death, so... I think she was groomed, as they say these
groomed.
Days. Groomed. You know? She saw this influential, handsome man.
Was he?
That mustache was in back then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry about the you know, the whole Anne Frank vagina,
diarrhea.
Ava Braun joke. Yeah. Nobody needs that.
We go some places.
I'm sorry?
We go some places.
Uh-huh.
But not too far.
Okay, I think I towed it.
You towed it where?
You're the worst. I don't think it went that terribly. Unlike this segment.
Cute.
That's a transition for you.
Well, you just made it less organic because
once
you called attention to it. You always do that.
Once a month, we have a segment that goes way too long called It Went Terribly.
Does it go way too long?
Because
both of us do it now.
It's fun. These are the educational episodes.
Exactly. I feel like people who listen to podcasts to learn things and not just to hear us chat stupidly, you know?
So once every 5 episodes or so.
Those are the ones that people tune into.
We do research. About just, if you don't listen to the other episodes, it's totally random topics. So what we do is we take things we talked about, mentioned whatever in previous episodes, and we say, oh, was that right? Or I'd like to know more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we look those up, and then we come back here and tell you all about it. The interesting ones. And then some of the other ones, too.
the very boring ones.
Yeah. And it's time. It's time for that, Alice.
It's time for that.
I have just a buttload of this.
Oh, really? I only have three. But one of them goes into a really long loop.
Well, I'll start you off with a couple of quickies. First of all, are hockey arenas kept cold inside? Was a question that I had.
But I answered it.
I know you did. However, I would like to say that I found the actual temperatures. What would you think, Alice?
Oh.
It's hard to guess a number.
What are refrigerators kept at?
Above 31, below like 40?
I would say around there.
So, hockey arenas are kept between 50 and 65 degrees.
Oh, I was very wrong.
Depending on where you're sitting. If you're closer to the ice, it's closer to 50.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Like our room at the Airbnb in St. Louis. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, shots fired at Nick or Pat or whatever his name was.
That wasn't their names.
I'm just trying to make sure I avoid the actual name. I don't want to get sued. So my note I made was I expect it to be colder. I really did.
Oh, okay. And I wish a refrigerator?
I wish it were colder. Yes, closer to a refrigerator. Yeah. I wish it were colder. Then I might actually go to a hockey game. I think it'd be fun to have, like, I don't know how many people were there, 10,000 people? It'd be fun to have 10,000 people just freezing together while watching other people hit a little puck around for 2-3 hours. I don't know how a hockey game lasts.
You're really just waiting for a fight.
You are.
That'll warm you up.
You sit there for like 3 hours freezing with strangers.
You're not tempted to take your clothes off and huddle up?
I'm not. You sit there for 3 hours freezing with strangers to end up with 1-0. Like, can you imagine, Alice? Oh, I'd be so upset.
Is that a typical hockey score?
I think so. I'd be so upset.
So upset. Hey, so the fad with the Stanley Cups, like, that's not associated with the Stanley Cup at all, is it?
I don't know what you're talking about, the fad with the Stanley Cups.
Oh, it's like it's a drink tumbler that everyone is super into right now. And I guess the brand is Stanley?
I'm not on TikTok.
Like, the brand is Stanley, like the tape measures, I assume. It's
what
like
is
a tool.
Happening?
Just hockey just made me think of this.
I feel like we're having a collective stroke right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Stanley, like the tape measures. So those make a cup and call it a Stanley Cup? Because they're allowed to do that?
I guess, yeah.
Because they make it.
Mm-hmm. But the other day, I was in the restroom at school, and I glimpsed under the stall to my right, and there was a Stanley cup, like one of those drink tumblers, sitting on the floor. And I was like, why would someone spend however much money on these coveted cups and put them on a bathroom floor?
And you're sure it wasn't the actual Stanley Cup? I'm sure they didn't also spend years and years of practicing and working hard to get to the top. Breaking God knows how many noses to achieve that. And then, oh, I wonder where I left that. Not a single hockey player in this world sounds like that. It's not a lot of ice in Alabama. I'm kidding. Hockey's popular everywhere now. So,
So
screw me.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that there should be more hooks on bathroom doors.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
or
wrong.
Even ledges, you know, to put your nice cups on.
Maybe both. Maybe everything.
Yeah.
And my other note, see how long it's already going? These are the short ones. These are the short ones. My other note, I asked if there was a driver-free Zamboni out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Because we were talking about Zambonis. Sort of, Alice. Sort of.
Fine.
As I don't have updates, but as of about a year ago, students at Carnegie Mellon University were developing an autonomous Zamboni for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh.
The autonomous Zamboni follows another human-driven Zamboni, but with an offset so the vehicles aren't cleaning the same path of ice.
That's cute.
So, like, electronically, they're tied together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it learns where to go based on what the human's doing.
Okay.
So you still need the human. But that human takes care of two.
I feel like it's only a matter of time before a completely autonomous one is developed.
Yeah. Or just a huge thing that's the size of the ice that comes down from the ceiling and does like a super quick wipe away. Like, Like side to side, goes back up, and we're ready to play again.
Right? Right?
Yeah. So apparently in hockey, between the three periods, come on, hockey. Oh, three weird. Periods.
It's like a play.
Oh, it is 3X. Theater nerd. Between each period, there's a 20-minute break while two Zambonis go around and clean up the ice.
Yeah, there's not even space for halftime or try time.
Try
or
time!
Like a performance or something.
Try
time. Dumb Zambonis are out there.
Right? So if we could figure that out, I'm saying a giant thing that drops from the ceiling, and then we're done here.
Makes that sound effect.
Yeah, yeah, everybody gets to hear it. Like, everybody, shh, quiet down, I'm freezing, Daddy! Shut up! Shut up, I'm listening to something! My forefathers didn't die face down in the muck for you to be whining while this... Here it comes! Oh my god, yes! Sorry for how stupid that was, Alice. Give me something you learned.
You apologize to everyone out there, not just me.
I'm sorry, friends. Love you.
Okay, so I'm taking it back almost to It Went Terribly's.
Well, that's bonkers.
Well, because the way that I delivered it, I think it was really funny, but I didn't answer any questions, really.
Okay, Alice.
It's about Bill Nye.
Oh my god. The most throwaway joke of all time.
I thought it was great.
It was a great throwaway joke, but you've talked about how great it was twice now.
Yeah, yeah.
Your own joke.
So the whole thing was Doug looking up celebrities who have twins that we don't know about.
Yes.
And he was he was making a guessing game out of it, and his final one was, ooh, Bill Nye or Ashley Olsen? And of course, I was supposed to say Ashley Olsen, but I said, which Bill Nye? And I thought that was super funny.
It was really funny the first time. The second time, it was still pretty funny.
And then on It Went Terribly, on the next one, I found out Bill Nye's siblings, but I didn't say which Bill Nye. And that was part of the joke, you know? I was just like, oh, Bill Nye has these siblings, and Bill Nye has these siblings, and we just let it go.
For those of you unaware, there are two Bill Nyes. There's N-Y-E, which is, of course, the science guy, and N-I-G-H-Y, which is, of course, not the science guy. Go on, Alice.
Well, anyway, I thought I would clarify, because Bill Nye, the science guy's siblings, their names are Susan Nye and Edward Darby Nye Jr., and I actually thought those names sounded more British. So I thought maybe people would be mistaken that
it's
those
the Darby.
Were... Yeah, exactly. So it's Bill Nye's siblings that sound kind of British, Edward Darby Nye, and then Bill Nye, the actor... Wait, did I do it again?
I don't know what you're doing.
Bill Nye, the British actor, his siblings are Martin and Anna. Would sound more, you know, American, perhaps.
People didn't say Bill Nye this much in the Bill Nye documentary.
Wait, whose?
Shut up, Alice. Where are my starbursts? Where are the starbursts when you need them? Speaking of starbursts... I was eating some Starburst in the episode one time, and I said something about Starburst being made in 1962. Totally threw that year out there out of the blue. And I was like, I gotta find out, because I just made it up. 1960!
Wow, you were so close!
So close!
But over, technically. Wop, 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 wop.
Okay, Alice. And now comes a new segment.
Uh-oh.
For It Went Terribly. And
a
it's...
segment within a segment. Oh, my God.
And this segment is tentatively called How Terrible Can It Get?
Oh, no.
Alice, What flavor of Starburst do you wish there was?
Oh.
What Starburst do you
so
wish
many,
there was out there?
And I don't know all
Give me
the specialty
one,
packs.
One Starburst you wish exists in this world that you're not aware of existing. Mm. Because if you name one that does exist...
Does it have to be a fruit?
Won't you be happy?
I guess.
You'd be like, oh, that's out there. Plum, effing right.
I'm not a fruit person.
AWP? Heck yeah! No, it could be any flavor. Name one Starburst flavor you want.
That I want? Or
that
just...
you want to exist. Oh, I know, it's hard. You want me to go first?
Urinal cakes.
Oh, I was just going to say sweet corn. You're gross.
I wondered if you meant any flavor or a fruit.
Any flavor. All right. And that's how terrible it can go.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
I thought you were going to tell me the invention of Starburst and how terrible it went.
No, that's all I got.
it went pretty terrible, I think.
We talked about Kimberly Williams Paisley recently.
Oh, yeah.
And about The Tenth Kingdom, the show that Alice showed me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a third of it. The miniseries.
Oh, yes. Miniseries. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
And we says what has been up to? It's all the Bill and I talk. It really got my brain fried. What's Kimberly Williams Paisley been up to?
Doug Sharp, the brain fried guy.
Did you know she was in the sitcom According to Jim?
I think so.
2001, 2009. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody watched it.
Yeah.
For 8 years, nobody watched it. Good for you, Jim Belushi. The most recent thing I found was that she was in a 2023 movie.
Oh.
Called Jesus Revolution.
Yes. Oh.
A Christian drama film starring Kelsey Grammer.
What? I didn't know he was a Christ head.
Christ head. He's part of the Jesus Revolution, Alice.
I mean, this movie sounds like a superhero flick.
Jesus, man. you can kill him, but he'll be back in 3 days.
I get it.
But how
Who did she play?
Huh?
Who did she play?
I don't know.
Is this like a modern thing? Not a Jesus story?
You think I wanted to look... Oh, yeah, it's a modern thing.
Okay.
I think it's about people trying to spread the word of Jesus in the 60s or 70s. I don't know.
Starburst?
But how terrible can this go, Alice?
Oh, we're doing it again.
Yeah, for every one of these now. She married Brad Paisley. Which country music star would you marry, Alice? If you had to pick one country music star, which one would you marry?
Like living or dead?
Living only.
Oh.
You and your... You always have questions for me, and I like it.
Well, I don't know too many of the young peeps.
Mm-hmm. My problem is, I don't know which one... Like, I immediately thought... I don't even really flirt with bisexuality. I almost wish I did. But mm-hmm. Garth Brooks would be my guy. But I'll marry Garth Brooks, you know?
Okay.
We're not going to get hanky-pankies. But I don't want to break up him and Trisha Yearwood.
I didn't even know they were together.
I don't want to break that up.
So how terrible can this go? Am I going to pick someone really terrible?
I mean, you don't have to. You just pick whoever.
But then it defeats the purpose of the segment.
This segment is showing just
how Toby
terribly
Keith?
It can go.
There we
oh,
go.
That's
we go.
Pretty
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah.
He'll stick a boot in your...
My
in your
WAP.
In your WAP.
My it's op.
The, it's the American way. I'll do another one. You only have two of these, so I'll keep going.
Okay.
Alice, we talked about the Honda Accord for some reason. We said, hey...
We talked about it because of my Word for Nerd segment in that It Went Terribly segment.
Yeah, I said...
Words
for,
with nerds.
I said for some reason.
Words for Nerds.
Words for Nerds with Yuli Ellis Shin.
Yes.
My favorite segment. So we said, why is the Honda Accord named the Honda Accord?
Oh,
what's it named
about
after,
that?
Alice?
Not the perfume word. What if it's named after the perfume word?
I guess you're about to find out, aren't you?
Oh my god.
Honda chose the name Accord, reflecting, quote, Honda's desire for accord and harmony between people, society, and the automobile. Absolutely. You better check your vagina.
That just dried it up.
That is wet. Oh.
Oh. Can it be both?
I'm not a woman. But
not
yes.
yet a woman.
Am I Britney Spears?
Oh, yeah. We're all a little Britney Spears.
But how terrible can this get, Alice? What random word would you name a car? Like a Honda blank or a Toyota blank.
The first word that came into my mind was filigree.
Ooh, that sounds like a horse. But what does filigree mean?
It's a design.
What?
Like in writing.
Like a triangle?
Or drawing. It's like those little curly cues. Like that you see on fancy stationery or something.
I like it. So this vehicle that you've designed is good at like taking curves.
Oh, that's not terrible.
The Toyota filigree. All right, that's just terrible. Yeah.
I can see how you got to horses, because filly is a kind of other horses, and then pedigree, you were mashing them together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine was the Ford Bisquick, and I'm not sure if. I'm not sure if that's okay. We'd have to talk to the pancake people. I'm not sure, but.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Does it always smell like pancakes?
Syrup. Ooh, it runs on maple syrup. Oh, it's probably more expensive. It is more expensive than gas. Never mind. It's a terrible idea.
Like real maple syrup, not just syrup.
Bisquick, built Ford Tough. Hey, okay, what do you got, Alice?
All right. This one's kind of a fun one. We had been talking about Alice Roosevelt, of course, that wild and rambunctious girl.
Yeah, I've got some Alice Roosevelt in here, too. Okay, I'll get ready. I'll get ready.
So she had written an autobiography called Crowded Hours, and you suggested that I look up if I can narrate this book.
Okay.
I cannot. Because it already exists!
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's a podcast series that actually started last year.
Are you kidding me?
2023,
That's awesome.
Crowded Hours. And it has some big names in there. You want to guess who plays Alice?
Alison Brie.
No, but yeah, that would be, yeah.
Janet Fonda. Jane Fonda.
No, she's a little too old
You don't
for
know
that.
Anybody's names! Janet Fonda. no, I'm out of guesses.
Okay.
Alison Brie.
Yeah.
I meant to say Aubrey Plaza the second time.
But yeah, of that generation, Emma Roberts.
Oh, I don't really know who that is. She's one of the Emmas, but there are so many.
Yes, she is one of the Emmas.
There's a Roberts, a Stone, a Johnson, a Thomas.
I think you're just making up.
Made up some of those.
Yeah, and then Teddy is played by Tony Goldwyn.
I was going to say Tony Goldwyn.
How? Why?
I'm lying.
Oh.
How terrible can I get?
Of Scandal and Ghost. And
oh, okay. I was going to ask who Tony Goldwyn is. I can picture him now that you say from Ghost.
And I haven't listened to it yet, but I am following it. And I do plan to listen to it. I listened to the sample. And just from the sample, it feels kind of like a contemporary-ish imagining. Kind of like in the style of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson or Hamilton, a little bit like that.
Okay, I hope this thing takes off then.
Yeah, and I guess along with that, like the casting is kind of creative as well, because actor Behzad Dabu, who is of Iranian and Indian descent, plays her husband, Nick Longworth.
Okay.
I don't know if you know him, though. I looked up his credits. He was also on How to Get Away with Murder, which you watched all of, right?
I mean, there were a lot of characters and a lot of episodes. Okay. But
he played Simon Drake? I don't
recognize. Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
that name? Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Simon. Yeah. No, for real, I do. Cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. I also looked up that. This wasn't part of my. But I was like, I wonder if I could get Alice this book sometime. Like as a nice surprise gift.
Ah, thanks.
I cannot. It's a really expensive book.
Why would the book be so expensive?
It's really old.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I guess they haven't published it in forever.
Oh, sure.
Again. Okay. Well, I guess I'll there are no like republished. At least I can't find any.
Okay.
And if I do, you're going to get it.
Well, it's not so necessary. I've got the podcast here, so
it's
fine.
I think you would just enjoy owning it. Okay, here's my Alice Roosevelt thing.
Oh, yeah.
Alice Roosevelt. By the way, Theodore Roosevelt's daughter. We skipped over that, but
people should know that.
Listen
by now.
To the episodes.
Learn something for once, why don't ya?
You had mentioned this, that she buried a voodoo doll of Nellie Taft when they were leaving office. So as the Roosevelts were leaving, the Tafts were coming in, she buried a voodoo doll of incoming First Lady Nellie Taft. And I says to myself, I wonder if Nellie Taft was okay after that. Voodoo dolls aren't real.
How terrible can it get?
So they left office in 1909. She buried the voodoo doll on the way out. Shortly after moving in, Nellie Taft had a stroke.
Of genius?
Why would you laugh at that? Nellie Taft had a stroke, impairing her speech and limiting movement in her right arm and leg. She was forced to relearn how to speak, and though she improved, she never fully recovered.
Why did I laugh?
You're a monster. How terrible can this go?
I was laughing at how terrible it went.
Right, right. No, but Alice wrote a real witch.
Real She's witch. A real witch.
Apparently. So, Alice, how terribly can this go? What first lady would you make a voodoo doll of?
Oh, God.
Huh? What do you think?
Well, this just seems mean-spirited.
Oh, yeah. That's why you should pick one that's already dead.
Oh, okay. I feel like I don't know enough first ladies, and that's an indictment of the American education system.
I would pick Grace Coolidge. That no good lousy hussy, Grace Coolidge. I don't know a darn thing about Grace Coolidge.
You're just naming names.
I thought, what's the most random president I could think of? I thought of Calvin Coolidge. I looked him up, and I don't intend to look up who Grace Coolidge was for next time because I'm really not interested.
Oh,
she looks like a lovely lady, but you getting a voodoo doll, Grace? That's what's happening. Either that or Laura Bush, I guess.
She's not dead.
I'm just kidding. If anything happens to Laura Bush, I don't even own voodoo equipment. I don't have pins.
Or burlap.
Burlap. I've never even touched burlap.
Buttons. Oh, you've touched plenty of buttons.
That's true. All right, I can see you're not going to answer the question.
Yeah, Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. One of the best first ladies we ever had.
You don't know.
I mean, she was crazy, but can you blame her? She went through a lot, Alice. And you want to make a voodoo doll out of her.
It's just a doll. I'm not going to do anything bad to it. I just want to have a doll of her.
Oh, that's nice. We talked about pork blood. Because we had pork blood as part of our hot pot, and we said, what is pork blood? And that's what we said.
Okay, yeah. Like, so it's like how it's made, yeah, how it retains its shape.
Yeah, so it's like the square of jiggly whatever. How is that blood? Like, what else is mixed in with it, of course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Pig blood curd is solid pig blood.
Okay.
Manufacturers coagulate fresh blood.
They what?
Coagulate. Did I mess up the word?
It sounded, yeah, it sounded like coagulate.
We'll listen later. We'll listen later. Somebody made a voodoo doll of me. Manufacturers coagulate fresh blood by letting it sit in a clean container for around 10 minutes. The blood cube is cut into smaller pieces, then heated in a pot with medium heat with water. During the heating process, salt is added to solidify the blood cubes. So that's it.
It really is just blood.
It's just blood with some salt.
How does the coagulating happen? Does it have to be a certain temperature?
I think so, and specifically pig blood. Pig blood does this.
Oh.
I guess other animals don't.
What fun.
Yeah.
Well, humans are pretty similar to pigs. Does our blood coagulate?
That's a good question, Alice. If other animals' bloods were to coagulate, how terribly can this go? Which animal's blood would you eat?
I would eat human blood.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's fair.
You know, with someone's consent.
Yes. We could let some blood.
Let?
Did I use that right? Bloodletting is a thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we could let some blood.
I could save my menstrual blood.
Oh, my God.
How terrible can it go?
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, that's wet. That's butt wet. Let's move on. Let's get out of that. I did not answer, and I don't want to anymore.
You were probably going to pick some cute, cuddly animal.
I'm not sure. Maybe alligator blood.
Oh, okay.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill the alligator. Just let some. You can. Self-heating food, Alice.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that hot pot.
Yeah, Alice found a hot pot amalgamation.
Yeah, like a single-use hot pot.
Mm-hmm. And it says, self-heating.
A ration burner?
Yeah, he says, what does that mean? What does that mean? So I looked it up, and you can buy it right now on Amazon, whatever you want to do.
Ooh.
It's a little pricey for what you get, but... So you put the ingredients in one bowl, Alice, then you fill that bowl with water, and then you put some water in a bigger bowl.
Oh.
And then you open this self-heating pack that comes in the package. It's a self-heating pack, and you set that in that bigger bowl's water. You put the first bowl on top of that one. You put a lid on. 15 minutes later, you got piping hot food.
Wow.
I don't understand it.
That's amazing.
I read about it. It told me all these things. Iron, sulfur, oxide. I don't know. And I was like, I'm not writing that down. I don't understand what I'm writing down. So I'm just going to call it magic. Or voodoo, if you will. So it's a little overpriced because of the amount of food you get for that. But like we might try it sometime just to do it.
That's like for camping.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's what they said, like if you're out.
Well, that's how those Chinese rice cookers work. You were asking me last week if we learned how to use a rice cooker at those Chinese culture heritage camps.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Chinese-style rice cooker, you have your pot of grains and rice, and then around it, you put water. And then it heats the water and the steam and everything.
With a self-heating pack?
No, it's electric.
Oh, with electricity?
Electric rice cooker.
You didn't have to explain to me how electricity worked, Alice. I've been cooking since I was 7.
But you don't usually cook things like that, like putting it in another thing of thing.
Like a double broiler type situation?
Yeah. But the rice cooker I have is a Western style, so it doesn't have that outer ring of water.
I fell into an outer ring of water.
I can marry Johnny Cash.
There you go.
He was crazy.
There you go. You can marry Johnny Cash. Was he? He was a rebel. He was a rebel. But how terribly can this get, Alice? which food do you wish was self-heating? You may not have an answer.
You do?
I do. I do have an answer. It's going to be better than yours. The food I wish was self-heating was a combination of flour, sugar, butter, and egg.
A cake?
I just put those together in a bowl and be like, cake.
Oh, so these packs, do they work for anything?
I guess so, yeah.
Wow.
So I guess you could just keep the pack and you could be like, I'll just eat these vegetables raw, thank you very much.
Wow.
And I'll just go put this pack in a...
Oh, no. Like, what if we collect so many of those packs for nefarious purposes?
I mean, they sell matches, Alice.
I guess that's true.
If you want to burn down somebody's house,
I can do it.
Sorry, Mary Todd Lincoln. I was trying to pull for Grace Coolidge.
I can't pick the same person you pick.
Yeah, we're burning down two different dead presidents' houses. Don't at me, Secret Service. You want to stay on food for a second?
Yeah.
All right, staying on food. We asked, is there a company that makes fake semen?
I don't remember this.
I don't remember why we asked it. But is there a company that makes fake semen? There are, Alice. You could order it right now on Amazon. There's something called Magic Money Shot Cum. Synthetic semen.
So that is for movie making?
Yes.
Okay.
That's with a K, I guess, by the way.
Cum?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to make someone masturbate in order to get their cum. It feels like a sexual harassment or something.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's also my honeymoon, right, fellas? So Magic Money Shot Cum Synthetic Semen is a water-based, it's 4 ounces, $23.95 on Amazon.
That's a lot.
Feels like a lot. I mean, I can get you 4 ounces by by 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'll charge you like $8.
No. I don't want you to feel sexually coerced.
No, I'm volunteering. Just making some money. They also say it has authentic flavor.
Well, it should come in different flavors then.
It's not just for movies. It's some people use it sexually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
However, it was noted that this particular item is not intended for internal use, so you couldn't use it as a lube. So what's the point if you're using it sexually?
Oh, that internal. Okay. So, like, eating it
you
is
know
okay.
That AWP!
I mean, but eating it is okay.
They said then... that they don't, like, they like it's non-toxic, but you probably shouldn't eat it.
Oh. Then why is it flavored? Why do they tempt us like this?
WorldCondoms.com sells something called porn sperm, artificial sperm, for $20. I could not find the size of the bottle, though. So, there you go, everybody. If you want to get some fake semen, it's out there.
I kind of do, honestly.
It's out there, Alice. How terrible can this get? What flavor of fake semen would you want?
Ooh, urinal cake.
Urinal cake, yeah. That was my answer, too. I'm almost done with my list.
Okay.
How's your list going?
I have one, the one big one left. The big one.
I think I have two things.
Should I go in between your two things?
I think you should
things?
Go in between my two things. You dirty bird. A while back, on our New Year's episode, we had Candy and Jason Vincent on. And Candy asks the question, and it made sense at the time, is it illegal to bury your relatives in your yard?
Ooh.
Is it, Alice? Is it? This is actually legal in 47 states.
What's up with those three other ones?
47 states you can bury relatives in your yard. The other three are California, Washington, and Indiana.
Oh, no.
Right? Most of the states have requirements about the minimum distance they can be from bodies of water, electrical lines, other buildings, and roads. But if you meet those conditions, go ahead. Put grandma wherever you want.
Okay. So... it's better if you have a lot of private land, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, you can bury all the bodies there. I think you have to, like, turn them in first or whatever.
What?
Like, oh, yeah, look, George is dead. You got this?
Oh, okay.
Natural causes. Everything's cool. Now give me the body. I'm going home. You can't just be like, well, so where's George been? He dead. Buried him out back.
You didn't get a license for this.
Right. But how terrible could this go, Alice? If I died, where would you bury me?
Just anywhere, like.
Sure, if you anywhere legal.
Anywhere legal? I mean, I wouldn't know.
Well, I mean, anywhere is legal for you.
Okay.
If you say anywhere is legal, where would you bury me? What would you do with my body? I don't have family that's going to come visit my grave.
Well, I probably wouldn't bury you then.
What are you going to do with me?
I'd probably get you cremated, and I'll put you in like a funny jar.
Aw.
And I'll keep you on the mantle.
Aw, how funny?
Oh, it's pretty funny.
Okay, cool.
You know, we can decide when you're alive. Like, what kind of designs you want on this jar.
Well, I drop dead right now.
Oh, God.
What jar
honestly,
am I going in?
Honestly, White Castle patterned jar, probably.
Okay. That's cute. Mm-hmm. That's really cute. Everybody come up and, like, sniff it. Like, this doesn't smell anything like sliders.
I'll get some slider-flavored semen to keep me company, you know?
That's that's what mine tastes like. Onions and pickles. I'm going to throw up some more. You said you were going to coagulate and eat your menstrual blood.
No. I wasn't going to eat it.
Okay. And now Alice's final.
Oh, right.
It went terribly.
Mm-hmm. Of this episode, not of all time.
We'll see.
Hey. All right. So I misspoke when we were talking about Michelin, the tires, and the travel guide. I thought it was the same name of the creative writer who endows a scholarship at University of Texas.
Endow. Yes.
But actually, that person is James A. Mishner. And then there's actually the James A. Mishner Center for Writers at University of Texas. And okay, so this goes into a whole long thing. So bear with me. I know all people out there are like, God, I don't want to hear more about this.
Hey, you guys, stick it through. I got some stuff about poop coming up.
Good,
that's
good.
Your reward.
Yeah. Stay for the poop. Yep. Sticking through this pretentious shit.
You stick through the pretentious, you get the poop tension. Everyone just turned it off.
Okay, so I did a little bit of research about James A. Mishner, because mm-hmm. I didn't really know who he was.
Have you seen my Starburst? Go on. Sweet corn flavor. Yes, James Mishner.
Okay, so he wrote the short story collection Tales of the South Pacific, based on when he was a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy. It won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 1948, and stories from it were adapted into the Broadway musical South Pacific by Rodgers and Hammerstein in 1949. Have you seen this?
No.
Me neither. So
when you said South Pacific earlier, I was going to make a joke about the musical, and it ended up being the same thing. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I had no clue. Like, South Pacific is one of those classical musicals that I know nothing about, but except for the, I'm going to wash that man.
I'm going to wash that man?
Right out of my hair. Oh. I didn't want to sing the whole line.
Wait, is it his semen? Is that what's going on?
Yeah,
because that's a little difficult, I hear. No woman likes it.
Probably is. Oh my God.
No woman likes it in the hair. Yes. Okay. You know, they'd rather keep it around the South Pacific. That's where they'd like to keep it. And that's also what it tastes like. See you guys? It's going all right. Yep. Stick with us. Go on with the Michelin man.
So South Pacific, apparently, it was considered really progressive and quite controversial in its time.
Uh-huh.
Because it calls out racism and anti-miscegenation. The musical was specific. You want to know what anti-miscegenation means?
No, I got it. I just didn't know it was a word, and I'm surprised you got it on the first try.
I think I slurred it a bit.
Anti-miscegenation.
Miscegenation.
Whatever.
So they were like anti-interracial marriages. So,
oh, that's not what I thought it meant.
Okay. But the musical was calling that out.
I thought it did with misogyny.
Mm. The musical was specifically based on stories about American nurse Nellie Forbush falling in love with French plantation owner Emile Debec, but struggling to accept his several multiracial children.
Oh.
So the real person had a lot of multiracial children, some of whom were mixed Asian, some of whom were mixed black. And Nellie, the real person, is quoted as saying, "Any person who is not white or yellow was an N-word."
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, and that sentiment probably contributed to the Asians as model minority construct.
We're going to make a voodoo doll out of this
Every
Nelly gets a voodoo doll. Voodoo dolls for every Nelly. That little annoying girl from Little House on the Prairie. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Nelly with your stupid curls and your resting bee face.
Jeez.
You remember Nellie.
No, I didn't watch that show.
I hope that was her name. Is it Olson? Nellie Olson? Is that her name?
Who knows?
Oh, we'll find out later.
Okay, okay.
Oh, you're getting a voodoo doll, Nellie. Go on.
So yeah, so she was a bit racist, specifically towards, I guess, the darker complected people.
Toward anyone that wasn't white or yellow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think that line that she said was in the musical. but Nellie.
It's not as hard when you sing it. Like, it's not as harsh when it's sung. If you're not white or yellow, you're...
but Nellie, in real life and the musical, does overcome her prejudice and stay with Emile and his children.
Oh, good.
Yes. And then there's another story from the Mishner collection that the musical uses. Doesn't end as happily. U.S. Marine Lieutenant Cable, a white man, falls in love with a Tonkinese woman named Liat.
What is Tonkinese?
I had to look that up. It is the northern region of Vietnam.
Okay.
But he ultimately doesn't marry her because he's afraid his elitist Philadelphian family won't accept her.
Gosh, so dang it, Philadelphia.
Not a happy ending.
Whole bunch of Nellies up there in Philly.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Whatever. Horses and whatnot.
So he sings like a really iconic song from the musical that I've never heard before called "You've Got to Be Carefully Taught" about racism and
such. Okay. I was nervous it was going the other way.
Well, okay. Well, this is kind of interesting. And that reminded me, so I went down a huge loop.
Here we go.
That reminded me of an essay I used to assign in my English composition classes called They've Got to Be Carefully Taught. And it was about how some like culture days in elementary schools miss the mark because they just check off racial and ethnic boxes.
Yeah.
Instead of more thorough education. Yeah. And part of its message was that kids have to be carefully taught, obviously. But it was kind of also saying kids may be too young to be taught about racism. And my views have evolved on that. So I decided not to teach that essay anymore. But for the longest time, I didn't know that the title of that essay was based on this song. And then, So I was like, what? As I was doing my research for this, I was like, what? So I looked up the lyrics to the original song. And it's actually kind of got a clever twist. So it says, you've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've it's got true. To be carefully taught. Yeah, so it's the twist is like, it's about that racism is carefully taught.
Yes.
So that was like really vanguard for its time.
It is. You ever seen like little kids of different races? They just get along and hang out. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa. It's so weird.
And part of the essay was about that, too. It's like when we make our differences known, that's when kids start to question it. But, you know, of course, there are ways to teach that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, other lyrics. You've got to be taught before you're 6 or 7 or 8 to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. Yeah. So there was a lot of protests against the song. And it was like the most controversial song in the musical, even though it's got such a light, happy kind of beat as most, you know. Golden Age musicals
mm-hmm,
have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One line from the song hasn't aged well. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made.
I'm not gonna.
So you know, it was trying
like
to
they're
teach
on the side
people...
of the head like a frog. Because yeah, I'm afraid of that. If you got some frog people coming at me, I want no part of that, Alice.
Yeah. So, you know, it's trying to teach people. But yeah, it was a time when the Tonkinese woman, Liat, and her mother, Bloody Mary, were played by actors of not South Pacific descent. But the song and musical were undoubtedly huge cultural impacts. In fact, the title line, You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, is included in another musical that redefines race and identity, your favorite musical, Hamilton.
Hey, Hamilton!
There's an allusion in my
oh,
shot.
Oh, yeah, you've got to be carefully taught. Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Burr says that.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Happy would-be 268th birthday to Aaron Burr, sir.
What?
I promise you. Famous accidental murderer Aaron Burr would be 268 years old today.
Wow.
Gone too
amazing.
Soon.
Amazing. How
Gone
did we get
soon,
there?
Aaron
How
Burr.
Did we get there?
Good thing I was looking at my list just then. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Because this one was really long and kind of meandering.
Sure was.
Yeah. Okay. But the
<Just kidding. laughs>
the context of this lyric, I don't think it really makes sense in the original context. So Burr sings, geniuses, lower your voices. You keep out of trouble and you double your choices. I'm with you, but the situation is fraught. You've got to be carefully taught. If you talk, you're going to get shot. So in this context, it seems like the opposite of the original song. Like, hey, quiet down.
Right, yeah. Right.
More like the essay. I stopped assigning. So who knows?
Aaron Burr misunderstood everything.
He didn't understand the assignment.
He misunderstood if he shot his gun. Hamilton would probably die. It's like, oh. It's my bad.
Yeah. Anyway, back to James A. Mishner. He had like 1% share in the musical, and that made him pretty rich. So that's how he was able to quit his job as an editor and write full-time and endow writing scholarships like the one at UT.
And he had that good tire business. So that's pretty good. You want one more political birthday?
Okay.
We got Ava Braun, and we got Aaron Burr. You know, a couple villains in their own right, but all, they're misunderstood villains, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Another misunderstood Ronald Reagan.
The actor?
No, the misunderstood villain. Ronald Reagan would be 113 years old today, which is much younger than I would have thought because he was an old man.
Oh, okay.
Among other political figures born on this day, such as Axl Rose and
Chinese democracy.
And, of course, the best political figure of all time, Alice. Of all time.
Donald
you ready
Trump?
For this one? Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, we're hyperbolizing.
Here we go. You ready? You've never heard a political figure like this before. Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna.
Happy birthday, Rick Astley.
Ah, yay!
I Rick Roger. My final, it went terribly.
I wish. Yeah, I thought you were going to end the episode right there.
I can't, because this is very important.
Oh, okay.
Alice, you poop right after you eat.
Oh, right, I forgot about the poop. Yeah, this is our dessert after that long history lesson.
Poop is not dessert. I keep telling you this, poop is not dessert.
Finn was eating pudding out there earlier, and I said it looked like poop.
That's very inside baseball. Speaking of baseball, Babe Ruth would be 129
what?
Years old today. Finn is a child who lives in my home sometimes.
That sounds so bad.
So Alice poops right after she eats. Almost every time. Sometimes in the middle of poop. Sometimes in the middle. Sometimes in the middle of poop and you poop. Sometimes in the middle of eating she poops. And it's like, hey, is this okay?
Mm, what if it's not?
And you've never really looked into this, have you?
No.
Are you ready?
Okay. You're going to tell me I'm going to die?
Dr. Doug is here for you. If you feel you have to poop after every meal, you might have an overactive gastrocolic reflex.
Oh.
Which is a natural reflex to eating.
A reflex to eating.
Yes. So you always say you think your food is passing through you and it's making more room, but it's a reflex to eating. So it usually takes 10 to 73 hours for food to pass through your body as stool.
That's a huge gap.
10 to 73. Median time. I mean, it's all ages, all genders, everything. Hmm. Median time is about 28.7 hours.
That seems like a long time.
So the stuff you're eating is not coming right out. That's what I'm trying to tell you, mm-hmm. Alice.
Except when you eat spicy foods, it comes out hours later and it's spicy.
That could just be like, I guess, I don't know, but
a reflex.
The parts of it that are go through faster, the spicier parts.
Okay.
But the food itself doesn't. I get, you know, like the clumps. according to Healthline, the gastrocolic reflex is a natural reaction your body may have to eating food. When food hits your stomach, your body releases certain hormones. These hormones tell your colon to contract to move food through your colon and out of your body. This makes room for more food, is what it's thinking. Like, oh, here we go. The effects of this reflex can be mild, moderate, or severe.
Oh.
They can also vary from person to person. I think yours is moderate. I wouldn't call it severe because you're not, like, running to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. It's not a big deal. You just have an overactive gastrocolic reflex. And now you know what to call it.
Well, that was boring as fuck.
Well, I thought you'd be happy! Jesus Christ. Hey, but how terribly can this go? Alice, if you could either poop twice a day, once when you get up and once when you go to bed, or poop after every meal, which one would you choose?
I think after every meal.
Really?
Yeah, because when I get up in the morning, I might be in a rush. I don't have time to poop.
Okay.
And then I shower at night, so I don't want to poop right before bed. I want to poop before I shower, which is maybe like 3 hours before I go to bed.
Okay. I think I would be happy to do it at rise and down. I don't.
Gotta put you down.
Like I'd wake up, I'd poop, I'd go shower.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
I would add a second shower to my day for sure. I'd be like, okay, poop, shower, go to bed.
Okay.
I think that's how I'd live my life. I think I'd be happy to do that. Hmm. Well, I don't always want to shower at night, though. I gotta just wallow in it.
You have a bidet. You don't have to wallow.
That's true. Well,
like a pig in your own filth.
Yeah, and if I wallowed in it, I'd have that AWP going on. The P stands for penis.
Not poop hole?